Over the past 6 weeks or so, on a couple of occasions, I have reminded you of the opening lines of St. Mark's Gospel. We are told that when John was arrested, Jesus came into the Galilean territory and he announced the good news of God's kingdom. He said, "The time is now. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Believe in the good news." That same passage from the scriptures will be put before us again this coming Sunday. And I would suggest to you that the headline we can take for the season of Lent is that inaugural statement that Jesus makes in the opening of St. Mark's Gospel. The time is now. This is the moment. And this moment will never, ever be reduplicated again. Everything before is gone. And everything for tomorrow has not yet come. The only moment in which God stands is this moment, the present moment, the now. Secondly, the kingdom of God has drawn near. Jesus, in his being, in his words and in his deeds, in his flesh and in his blood, in his very life, is the kingdom of God present. His very presence establishes God's kingdom. Third thing he says, repent. Seek a change of heart. Pray as the psalmist did, create a new heart in me, O Lord, and put within me a steadfast spirit. Repentance is fundamentally a change of heart. And lastly, believe in the good news. The good news of God's compassionate, merciful presence. The good news of God's inclusive love. The good news of God's gracious care for all creation. The good news of God seeking the redemption of all in Jesus Christ. The good news of God identifying with the creature, seeking the creature, yearning for the creature, wanting union with the creature. That's the good news. God's compassionate, gracious love for all people. Well, those 4 points are the headline for the season of Lent. Now, the church puts before us every single Ash Wednesday the particular gospel that we had this evening. Of all the gospels, of all the passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is the one the church chooses every single Ash Wednesday to put before us. Because in order to fulfill the purpose that Jesus lays out in the opening words of Mark, the disciple is asked to do certain things. The disciple is called to live in a certain way if there's to be a change of heart, if one is to believe in the good news, if one is to recognize the kingdom present in Jesus, if one is to realize that this is the moment. And so Jesus puts before his disciples 3 practices. Number one, he says, if you're going to be my follower, there must be an intentional life of prayer that you live. Prayer is nothing more than the creature acknowledging the Creator. Prayer is nothing more than the act by which you and I affirm who we are and who God is. Prayer is nothing more than the human expression of gratitude and thanksgiving for the manner in which God has gifted us. So Jesus says, you must pray. Number two, if there's going to be reform, there needs to be fasting. And fasting is nothing more than putting balance into one's life. It doesn't mean only restricting oneself from overeating and overdrinking. It means whatever there is that brings imbalance to my life, whatever there is that makes my life unmanageable, whatever there is that takes over the direction of my life, whatever it is that drags me down the road where I am not in control, whatever that is, fast from it. And the third thing Jesus says is almsgiving. Recognize that you are in solidarity with your neighbor, with your sister, and with your brother. And when your neighbor is sick, that has something to do with you. When your neighbor is without shelter, that has something to do with you. When your neighbor has lost a job, that has something to do with you. When your neighbor is hungry, that has something to do with you. No one is an island, and all are called into solidarity with each other. And almsgiving is the way in which we express our solidarity, especially with those who are most vulnerable, those who are most on the margin, those who are in greatest need. But lastly, Jesus says something. He says, don't do it like everybody else does it. Don't do it like the hypocrites do it. Don't do it by blowing a trumpet in front of you before you do it. Don't do it by creating circumstances where everyone will see what you're doing. Now, what's that about? Well, you've got to understand the culture in which Jesus lived. The lives of men and women were very, very different from each other. Women lived in private. Men lived in public. Women lived in the house. Men lived in the village square. Women only left the house to go to the well to draw water or to go to the market to get food. Women's lives were absolutely and totally domestic. There was no public life that a woman had. And it was the exact opposite with men. All of men's lives were public. It was in the public places that they worked, in the public places that they talked, in the public places that they lived, in the public places that they carried on their business. And the most important thing for men was that they be honored and that they be respected. Honor was the highest value, and shame was the thing one feared most. And so one would want to be seen doing honorable things. So when I give alms, I want to be seen doing that, so that people will say, what a generous person this is. And when I pray, I want to be seen to pray. So I do it in public and on the street corners, and I call attention to myself, and everyone says, what a wonderful, pious person this is. And Jesus says, what I'm calling you to do is to be absolutely countercultural. I'm calling you to turn the whole thing upside down. I'm asking that men behave like women, I'm asking that you act for the glory of God and not for the sake of honor. I ask that you be freed from your dependence upon the opinions of others. I ask that your highest value not be that it looks great. I ask that you be authentic in your prayer, authentic in your service. I ask that you do it privately, in a hidden way, so that it is your Father who sees what you do, and it is He who will reward you. So we begin the season of Lent. The headline, the time is now, the reign of God has drawn near. Repent, believe in the good news. And undertake the practice of focused prayer, solidarity with your neighbor, and the renouncing of all things that hold you down. And do it for no other reason than for the glory of God. Do it in secret. Do it privately. Do it without anyone knowing what you're doing. In a moment, I will invite you to come forward, and you will be marked by the sign of the cross as a sign that we begin this day, this Lenten journey, this journey to the Easter mystery.